Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Psalm 119, Dr. Bloom made the point that if a man such as King David knew that he needed a constant awareness of God to stay in his will, how can we think we can do it on our own? Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
But here in our text, when he says, I have longed for thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness, basically, he is vowing to keep the commandments of God through the power of God. And to do so, he knows he must meditate in his word. He must meditate in the things of God. Now, if the man, King David, who is used to write many psalms and kill a giant named Goliath, if a man like that can fall into gross immorality, then who am I and who are you to think you can go without meditating in his word and not fall? Now, friend, we are totally dependent upon God as a church and as individuals. The backbone of our integrity should be, as Matthew 6:33 pointed out, seeking Christ, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness first. Now, we know we can't save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's not of yourself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You can't do it yourself. Acts 4:12 said that there's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. You see, men can't save themselves. They must come to him confessing their sinners and believe on him if they expect to be saved. So we, as Christians, must be dependent on him. And if you grow to that point in your life where you're dependent on Jesus Christ in your Christian living, then it will lead to no regrets when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, I have preached my share of funerals. And, you know, there have been times I've really seen the peace of God. It's interesting to watch. Sometimes we see people who do not seem to care in life, and they're at the funeral, and they are broken up. Then you see the one who was faithfully there. They were with that loved one in good times and bad. And they seem so at peace. And I believe the difference in several of those cases that I have witnessed is that the one at peace has no regrets. It's a parting until eternity. This person knows when they see them again, there is nothing for which they will have to say, boy, I wished I'd made this right down there. Oh, I wished I'd done this for you. Oh, I am so sorry. No, that won't happen with them. You know, my friend, one day, you and I as well will stand before God. You've been through revival meetings, maybe a church service. Perhaps you belong to a church that preaches the Word of God. Maybe you've listened to radio programs that preach and teach the word as it is to men as they are. My duty as a pastor is to preach Christ and His righteousness. I've told the Lord as a part of my vow unto God, if He will reveal unto me truth, whether it affects me negatively or positively, I will preach it, if that's His will. And I found that it goes both ways, my friend. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 4 tells the preacher how to preach. He is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And some people say, well, I don't mind exhort, but I don't like reprove and rebuke. And yet, a lot of times, they don't like exhort when they say, you know, be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be faithful to revival meetings. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Be a witness. Be at visitation. And after a while, they don't like exhortation that tells them what they're supposed to do. Now, perhaps you've been in these churches, you've been under this type of a preaching, and you've made decisions. You've had things in your mind that were those things which you ought to do. That one who is regretful at the funeral had things they wish they had done, and now it was simply just too late. You don't want to leave this life and it be too late. When this life ends, you want to be able to say with Jesus and Paul, it is finished. In other words, there's nothing left undone. So, we make vows to God at really the things that God has impressed in our heart, and we set out to do that, that we might have no regrets when we appear before Him, because regret shows that we lacked love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, we see the petition of the psalmist here in verses 41 through 43. Now understand, this is the request of someone who has made a commitment to the Lord. His first request here is for the continued mercy of God. He says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Now this is an acknowledgement as a Christian of our propensity to fall. I simply cannot trust in myself. Now, I may ask someone to show me how to do something that I've never done before, and they show me. And then I'll ask them, watch me and stay with me until I can do it on my own. Well, after all that is done and he's getting ready to leave and he realizes, okay, you can do it on your own now, I might say to him, look, give me your cell phone number. He says, well, why? And I answer, well, because I know me. And in the morning, when I do it on my own, I'm going to forget something. I'm going to do something wrong, or something will go wrong. Well, you see, the psalmist is instructed by the very Holy Spirit of God to share in writing what went on in his own heart. This is the same guy that was used to pen the Holy Spirit's words in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd psalm. In other words, this psalmist doesn't trust his own strength or his own resolve. He doesn't want to have regrets. Okay? And I don't blame him. And so he's asking God for his mercies. I've made a promise to God, or I've decided to live for him. But I know my flesh. And it will revert back to some things to which I'm prone. So God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, he's saying. Salvation here, when he says there in verse 41, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to that word, he's not talking about the salvation of his soul. Why? Because the Holy Spirit used only holy men of old to write the words he gave them. The psalmist is saved, so it's not talking about that kind of salvation. But this salvation, then, is a prayer for the time when those temptations come, not to be overcome by them. He doesn't want to be overpowered by them, and he realizes that if he tries to face them in his own strength and power, he will. So he's praying from his position in Christ. He wants deliverance from sin's power and consequences according to thy word. As Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And my friend, if you get away from a daily time in God's word, or you get away from daily thinking and meditating in God's word, you're going to find that one day you're going to be standing on a limb by yourself and you're going to fall. There's going to be no one to catch you because you have gotten away from that which was your strength and help. Now, God stands behind every word in this Bible because every word is God-breathed. In 2011, we will be celebrating the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. Now, understand that we say the King James Bible, we realize that it was translated from the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic text, which are absolutely the very best text. No other text is right. I know that'll make some guys out there upset, but truth is truth, and I promised, as I said earlier, to preach the truth when I know the truth. And so that's it. It's the very best text, and that has been around down through the centuries. So it was translated then, and look, as a result of that translation from the Greek and Hebrew to the English and the King James, and with the care with which they went through to do it, now we look at what has happened over those years since then. America and the missionaries sent around the world who were saved and then trained in the Word of God, and they got their start in this King James Bible. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you go to Spain and you teach the people to read English so they can read a King James Bible. No. The Bible is translated from the Textus Receptus and Masoretic text into Spanish. It's translated into Russian. It's translated into Chinese and into Japanese. But it must be translated into those languages. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.